And I also want to say hello to those that are listening online to the recorded sermon. We're really glad that you're taking the time to listen to this sermon, and we hope to see you in our service again sometime soon. If you are a teacher that's serving upstairs right now and you're listening to this sermon, just want to say thank you so much for giving your time to serve in our church in that way. Jesus is risen. Oh, some of you guys remember from last week. Great. Yes, Jesus is alive. And last week we celebrated how Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. We remembered how Jesus Christ went to the cross for our sins. But then on Sunday we remembered how Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This whole month we've been talking about, we took the month to think about Easter, to think about how Jesus Christ came and how he took some time to spend with his disciples to give his last words. We went through his prayer, his last prayer. Last week we talked about his encounter with Thomas after he rose again from the dead. And today we're going to continue that. We're going to be talking about an event that happened after Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, before he went into heaven. But before we go into the message, what I wanted to do is I wanted to take some time to pray. Because for those of us that are here, we're here for a reason. Jesus, God has brought us here, and we're able to listen to God's word. But then there are still so many people out there that are not able to hear God's word. People that are here in Taiwan, but also people that are all around the world. And we have people that we support. For example, people like Michelle Koh, who's in Tanzania. We have people like Kaylin and Kate that are serving in Sanchong in this area here. Toon and Pam, who serve in Banqiao. Also, there are people like Tim Yates and Barb, who serve and help out with all the things that are related with CRTS. And also, some of you guys may not know, but I'm involved with an organization called City to City Taiwan. And City to City works to equip and promote and support church planters here in Taiwan. And so we want to take a time to pray for all of these people that are involved in bringing the gospel to people outside of our churches. Right, and so why don't we take a moment, about a minute or two, we don't have to take too long, but take a moment to pray for Michelle, who's in Tanzania, for Kaylin, for Toon, for CRTS, the seminary that we support, for City to City, the organization, and let's take some time to pray for these people. I'll close for us in prayer. So let's pray. I want to ask us, I ask you guys to pray in different ways. Today, let's take this time to pray with whispers, all right? So we're just practicing different ways of praying together, all right? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this time. Thank you, dear Lord. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we could come before you and pray together as a congregation, as a church together, as your people before you. Lord, we know that there are a lot of people out there in this world that still don't know you. And we thank you, and we want to lift up those people that are involved in the work of bringing your truth all around the world. And Lord, we want to specifically pray for Michelle, who's in Tanzania. God, we just thank you so much for her and her willingness to go all the way out there. Lord, a few weeks back, she was struggling with some pains, and she had to take some medicine, and, And so, God, we thank you that she is recovering. And God, we pray that you'll continue to keep her healthy and use her to be your light there in Tanzania. God, we also pray for Kaylin and Kate as they are continuing their ministry in Sancho. We pray that you would allow them to find a good location where they could meet for their new church. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you, and we ask that you would continue to use them to shine your light in Sancheong. Also for Toon and Pam, we thank you, Lord, for the work that they're doing in Banqiao. And God, we pray that you would continue to use them to be a light in that area. Allow them to minister to people and spread your truth among the people there. And God, also we pray for CRTS. Thank you so much for the seminary that's seeking to train up your people, to train up future leaders and pastors. And God, we pray that you would use them to continue to bless so many through the people that they're training. And also, Lord, we lift up City to City. We thank you, Lord, that there was a wonderful event that happened yesterday, the Gospel in the City event. And Lord, also this coming week and next week, there's training that's going on for church planners. We pray, God, that you would continue to bless this ministry and allow City to City to be a ministry that continues to see your work done in a gospel-centered way all throughout the world. God, I also want to pray for Sri Lanka. They've seen so many people pass away, and so many families are still struggling because of the disaster that they faced, the terrorism that they faced. And so, God, we pray for your comfort and your peace. And, Lord, we pray that your people would be able to come together to continue to share your truth and your hope, especially with those that are in the Catholic churches that were affected by the bombings and by the terrorism that occurred. So, Lord, we lift them up to you. Also, Lord, I want to pray a special prayer for all the Morrison family, all the those that are part of that international school that are mourning the death of Bonnie McGill, the wife of the superintendent, Tim McGill. Lord, as they all go down to Taichung today to remember her, and to have the funeral, Lord, I pray that you would comfort all of them, but also allow them to remember that Bonnie is with you and that she's in a wonderful place. And so, God, we lift all of these things up to you. And now as we look to your word, we pray, Father, that you would speak to each of our hearts and allow us to draw closer and nearer to you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 21. It's the last chapter in the book of John. You could use the Bibles that are in front of you. You could use the screen up above. John chapter 21. It's the very last chapter, and we're going to be looking at the very last section, starting in verse 20. John chapter 21, starting in verse 20. This is the reading of God's word. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. I want to start off with a question. Have you guys ever asked yourself or said to yourself, "It's not fair. It's not fair." Some of us were here last week and we witnessed some people getting baptized. And as they made the decision to follow Christ and to go through that baptism ceremony, right after going through that time, it's easy to go through times of difficulty. It's natural for people to go through times where you begin to say, "Did I make the right choice? because something's happened in their lives, things happen in all of our lives where we face difficult circumstances, and we begin to ask the question, is it really fair that I'm going through this? Why do I have to go through this? Why me? And this may not happen just one time in life. It might happen multiple times in our lives. For me, it has happened multiple times. In high school, I asked the question, why do I have to be the one that's picked on? In college, after going on a trip to Uganda, I came back with some type of disease, something, where it caused my face to break out in pimples, and it started breaking out not only in my face, but all over my body. I felt like I was experiencing what Job experienced in the Old Testament. Really, it was really painful. And I asked the question, why do I have to suffer with these skin problems? After college, I graduated, and it was a time where the economy was really slow in my country. And after I graduated, everyone told me that I was in competition not only with all the people that graduated my year, but also the people that graduated the previous year, because none of them got jobs either. And I asked the question, why does the economy have to be so bad? Why can't I get a job? A little bit later on in life, I begin to ask the question, why am I not married yet? It's just not fair. I see all my friends getting married. Why am I not married yet? And then also, later on in my work, I would ask the question, why am I not as successful as other people? And in church, we sing this song, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We sing this song, and we sing it on Sundays, perhaps. We sing it with our mouths, but then that's not always what's going on in my heart. I'm able to say Christian words all the time with my mouth, but it's not necessarily what's really going on in my heart. And it's especially the case when we face difficult circumstances in our lives. And when those difficult circumstances come, and my heart begins to doubt, the funny thing is that we don't question our doubts about God, but we actually begin to question God. The interesting thing about today's passage is that Peter is having this interaction with Jesus. And this was after Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Peter is one of Jesus' disciples, one of his close disciples. This was after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Peter already saw Jesus. He already saw the scars in his hand and in his feet and his side. Jesus already saw the resurrected Jesus. Peter already saw the resurrected Jesus. Peter already saw him. And right before this passage, many of you guys may be familiar with this passage, but Peter has this interaction with Jesus because Peter denied Jesus three times before Jesus went to the cross. And now in this passage, right before today's passage, Jesus reinstates Peter and says, look, do you really love me? And Peter responds, I do love you, I do love you. Jesus asks him three times, and Peter is saddened, and he's saying, I do love you. And Jesus gives him a command saying, then feed my sheep, do my work. And then the interesting thing is that Jesus goes on and tells Peter, this is how you're going to suffer and die for me. You will die for me. And so now this is what's on Peter's mind. But then as Jesus says, this is how you're going to die, this is how you're going to face suffering in your life, even though you believe in me, you will face suffering, but I want you to continue to follow me. And that's what it says, the very last part of verse 19, right before going into our passage today. Jesus says to Peter, follow me, and I want you to continue to follow me. And so we're going to talk about three things today, and I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as possible. But I want you guys to really listen to the idea that Jesus is saying, even in your sufferings, Even when life is difficult, I want you to not question me, but question your own doubts. And I want you to continue to follow me. The way we're going to talk about this today is by talking about three things. Number one is the command to follow. Number two, the failure to follow, our failure to follow. And number three, the one that we should follow, the one to follow. All right, this is going crazy right now. That's all right. So the first thing, the command to follow. Jesus says, no matter what difficulties you go through, Peter, I'm telling you that you are going to die for me. No matter what, though, I want you to follow me. Now, if you hear something like that, and you hear that if you become a Christian, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through difficult times. Do you really want to do that? Do you really want to follow Jesus, even though you know you're going to suffer? Well, the way that people would normally respond is one of two ways. One way is that they will think that it's stupid to actually want to keep going in that direction if you know that you're going to end up suffering. Some of us here, let me just ask real quick, how many of you guys hate pain? You just don't like pain at all. Okay, some of us are real honest and raising our hands. That's great. All right. Yeah, I think a lot of us, we don't like pain. We don't want to face it. And so if we know that there's pain, we're like, I'm not going to go to the dentist, right? I'm not going to go to the doctor, because we don't want to face that pain. And when we hear something like, this is good for you and this is something you should do and there will be some pain involved, you should exercise and it will be difficult, right? But you should go through with it because it's good for you. And some of us may respond by saying, no, why would you want to go through that pain? Why? And so some of us might think, to follow Jesus, if it means that I'm going to face the pain, then I don't want to go through that. It's dumb. Why would anyone want to do that? So that's one way that people might respond, especially if we hear about situations like in our neighboring country in China, where people are actually facing persecution because of their faith. And what's interesting is that I'm talking about this message today, but who knows in the next 5 years or 10 years, if you're still here in Taiwan, what's going to happen between these two countries? If that day comes, will you still choose to follow the Lord Jesus? Another potential response is that is a worthy cause. That is something that I do want to give my life to. And so there are a lot of people out there, and not necessarily talking about Jesus Christ or Christianity, but then they might give their lives to some great cause because they say it really is a worthy cause. Save the animals. Save the whales. Save the sharks. Save every kind of animal that lives out there, right? For some people, this is such a worthy cause, and it is, right? Save the environment. You know, we have all of our bulletins. I'm asking you guys to join our LINE news group so that we would get electronic forms of the bulletin. We want to save the trees. We want to be environmentally friendly here, right? There are these great causes that people hold on to and say, this is worth it. And if everyone else is hating on me, I want to continue to support this idea, right? So there are these two ways that people might respond, because one way, they don't like the pain and they don't want to go through it and they don't want to even start that path. But the other way is, this really is a noble cause. This really is a great cause and I want to go through with it all the way. Now the big question is the cause of following Jesus Christ a good cause? Well, I would say of course it is. All of us have all different kinds of struggles. But then the biggest struggle is that we have turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have turned away from our God. And because of that, because of the sin, it affects our lives in so many different ways. Every week I talk about how the sin affects our lives in so many different ways. But there is good news that if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be forgiveness. that there will be new life, that there will be abundant life. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. Following Jesus is a noble cause. It is a cause that's worth it, even to give our lives to. But here's the thing. Jesus says, follow me. The first thing we talked about is the command to follow. But the second thing is our failure to follow. There are a lot of times that we fail to follow Jesus Christ. And it's not to say that we're not Christian anymore. But even if we are Christians, remember Peter? He already saw Jesus Christ. He already believes that Jesus rose again from the dead. He believes in Jesus, and he's been following Jesus for 3 years. But in this moment here, even though Jesus says, follow me, he still turns away. And so even for us as Christians, it's possible for us, even though we call ourselves Christians, that we would turn away from the Lord. Let's look at what Peter did. In verse 20, it says, Peter turned. And it's interesting, in the original language, it starts off with this word, turning. And basically the idea is turning away from Jesus, looking at this other person. Right? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he turned to this other person named John. Jesus says, follow me. Peter was supposed to look at Jesus and follow him, but what he did was, turning away from Jesus, he turned to this other person. Turning, Peter saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. If you know the book of John, you know that this is talking about the disciple John. The disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at the table close to him and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Okay, it's John. It's John. In verse 21, it says, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Why would Peter ask this question? What's going on in his mind? Basically, what's happening is Peter just heard Jesus say he's going to suffer and die for Jesus. But I want you to still follow me. Now, all of these thoughts are going through Peter's mind thinking, okay, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. Jesus wants me to follow him. What about him, Jesus? I mean, he's the one that you love, right? I mean, and not to say that Jesus didn't love his other disciples, but he says, this other brother, this other close disciple, what about him? And so in a way, what Peter is doing, he's comparing himself now. As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he saw this other guy and he starts comparing himself with this other guy. I know what's going to happen in my life, but what about this guy? Why did Peter do this? Well, it doesn't give a lot of explanation as to why Peter did this. But what we can know is that in our own lives, we find ourselves comparing a lot with other people. And it might be because there is some suffering or pain that we go through, and we're asking the question, why do I have to go through this, and why not them? Why am I the only one going through this? And it's not true that you're the only one, but then that's usually what we think when we go through difficult times. Or we might find ourselves in a situation where we say, yeah, I'm doing so well. I'm doing so much better than those other people. I'm doing so good. But we start to compare ourselves. And what's happening when we do that? What's happening is that we're taking our eyes off of Jesus. And now we're turning our eyes to ourselves. And we begin to think and ask questions like, why can't my life be happier? Why can't my life be more comfortable? Why can't my family be more peaceful? Why can't my family be more supportive of me? Why can't my life have more success? Why aren't my friends taking me out to dinner when they're taking other friends out to dinner? And I see them celebrating their birthdays, but my birthday just passed and nobody took me out. Why isn't my spouse more supportive or loving? Why can't my spouse post a nice message for my birthday like other couples? Okay, this is not real. This is not me. Okay? That's not it. All I know is that if you spend too much time on social media, you're going to be unhappy because you're going to see all this kind of stuff. Yeah, amen? Or some of us might say things like, I'm so much better than that person. Why isn't that person serving like I'm serving? Why isn't that person giving enough like how I'm giving enough time or money? And we begin to compare ourselves with other people around us. A few weeks back, we talked about how we're supposed to love one another. But once we start comparing ourselves with each other, we're not loving each other anymore. And all of this happens because we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put it on ourselves. All of these concerns, all of this kind of comparison that happens, if you think about it, it's all self-seeking. So again, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we fail to follow him. The last point is this. We talked about the command to follow. We talked about the way we fail to follow. And the third thing is the one that we should follow, the one to follow. We fail and fail and fail. And the thing is that it's part of this life that we face as Christians. Because even though we are saved by God's grace, we still have our flesh. And we will continue to fail. There are many times that we will take our eyes off of Jesus and we'll look to our own desires. And because of that, we start to compare ourselves with other people. And Peter, that's what Peter was going through. But Jesus' command, and it's really interesting, if we look at the next few verses, what his command is follow me. Let's look at the next few verses. It says, when Peter saw him, verse 21, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And in verse 22, we see Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And in verse 23, it says, so the saying spread among the disciples that this disciple won't die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die, but if it's my will that he will remain until I come, what is that to you? Okay, so John gives this explanation and saying, look, Jesus didn't say that I'm going to live forever. John is the one that's writing this book. John's the one that he refers to himself when he says he's the disciple that Jesus loved. This is all John. John's trying to explain. Look, that's not what Jesus said. What Jesus said, though, was, take your eyes off of this other guy and place your eyes back on me. If I will for something else for that person, that has nothing to do with you. What I want of you is for you to follow me. And if you look at the original language, it's very, very, like, it's emphasized. You. If there's a case for individualism in the Bible, it's right here. Okay? Jesus says, you. I'm talking to you. Every single person in this room, I'm talking to you. Jesus is saying, you follow me. But we know that we fail. And we take our eyes off of Jesus many, many times. But here's the thing. Jesus has done many, many wonderful things. If you look at that last verse in this passage, in verse 25, it says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. If we write all the books out there, the world won't be able to contain how Jesus worked in those 3 years and how Jesus continues to work today and how Jesus will continue to work in each of our hearts. Jesus continues to work in our hearts and does wonderful, amazing things. And what he says is, yes, I see how you have turned your eyes away from me. and you have sinned against me in this way. And you've looked to this world to try to satisfy you. And you're comparing yourself with other people because you think that there's something more that you deserve. But there is sin in your life. But because of my love for you, I want to remind you, Peter, remember just a few months ago? Well, I don't know how much time there was between Jesus' crucifixion and this story here. But Jesus says, remember, not too long ago, I died on the cross so that your sins would be forgiven. Brothers and sisters, if you believe in Jesus Christ today, all your sins from your past, even your sins of today, and even all your future sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ's work on the cross is done. But not only that, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and he says, I give my righteousness to you. I give my perfection to you. And so when God looks at us, God doesn't see our sinful selves. With a smile on his face, he says, you are my child, because God sees Jesus in us. He says, you are my child. I do love you, and I am taking care of you. Even though you're not able to see how I'm working in your life, and you're taking your eyes off of me, and you're saying, why do I have to go through these things in my life? Jesus says, I see all of it, and I am working in your life. And there's a promise in Scripture that says that no matter what we're going through, God is working for our good. And so everything that we go through in our lives, God is working for our good. And so if we fix our eyes on Jesus, Jesus is able to fill our lives with his hope, with his joy. We have the assurance that God is working in our lives, even though life is difficult right now. But we have that assurance. And with that joy, we're able to look at our lives and think, I am satisfied because of God and Jesus Christ in my life. I don't need to compare my life with other people anymore. I just want to go and bless people now. Temptations will still come. Difficulties will still come. The temptation to turn our eyes away from Jesus and to compare ourselves with other people, those temptations will still come. But when those times come, speak against your doubts that God doesn't care for you, that God is not working in your life. Speak against those doubts. Doubt those ideas and turn back to the Lord and believe in Jesus Christ again and in his promises. Here's a practical application. A few weeks back, I just want to remind you again that I shared what Jesus desires for us, what Jesus desires for our church is for us to love one another so that we're able to bless this world. God doesn't want us just to stay here together as a church and that's it, but God wants us to love one another. Jesus prayed that we would be unified so that we can go out and bless this world. But there will be times that we disappoint each other here. There will be times that we begin to compare our lives with each other. There will be times that we are disappointed and we feel like we're not being loved or cared for. Some people have come up to me already in the past and said, I feel like the church doesn't care for me. I hear you. But when those times come, instead of saying, why isn't anyone caring for me? Why are they caring for those other people? Why are they giving more attention to those people? Why aren't they caring for me? Instead of saying that, I encourage you, look to Jesus who is caring for you. Look to Jesus who is working in your life. and then become the person that cares for others. Here's another application. Ask yourselves the question, why do I compare myself with others? Why do I do that? What's really going on deep in my heart? What's driving that? What am I not satisfied with? What am I still looking for that I feel like I'm not getting? What is that thing? And once you find that thing, I guarantee it's a sin issue that's driving that. Once you find that thing, confess it before the Lord and begin to think about, how is Jesus greater than me, than this thing? How has Jesus provided for me? How is Jesus working in my life? Think through that. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. And God, I pray that you would cause us to continue to look to you and to follow after you. Allow us, Lord, when those temptations come to compare ourselves and to become dissatisfied with our own lives, allow us, Lord, to doubt those thoughts and to turn our eyes back towards you. Allow us, Lord, to follow you, even if it means going through all kinds of difficulties, Lord, because we know that you are good and that you are working in our lives. I pray in Jesus Christ's name.